those of you who are watching the video, well, I guess that doesn't do any good because there's no video. We do have sermon audio that we broadcast on as well, so we'll place that on the webpage today for anybody looking. So, does that sound okay? Okay. So when I yell and scream and pound on the pulpit, everything will be all right? Okay, good. Open up, if you would, back to Romans chapter 11. We're going to be studying this morning the passage that we read for our scripture passage. As we continue on this theme of what happened to Israel, has God forsaken and abandoned Israel? Because the question is for the Gentiles then, well, if God has broken his promises to the Gentiles, then what faith do we have that God won't also break his promises to us? Puts us in a good light. And Paul has been showing throughout that no, God has not forsaken Israel, but Israel's plight has forever been in God's plan. We saw in chapter 9 that the reason that Israel has faltered, the reason Israel as a whole has fallen out of God's auspices is because of the sovereign hand of God. We then saw in chapter 10 that the reason that Israel has fallen from God's graces is because of their own sin and lack of faith. And here in chapter 11, Paul is showing us that there still is hope for Israel. That God has not completely forsaken them. In fact, that all through history, there has been a remnant that God has kept to himself. And as we looked at last week, had it not been for Israel's falling away, the Gentiles would not have taken the place that they have taken for the last 2,000 years. Well, the question comes up then, what if Israel, and it is a hypothetical question because it has not happened this way, but what if Israel had not have forsaken the Messiah? What if they had believed, they had turned, then what would have happened to the Gentiles at that point? Well, then we would have, God would have opened up his grace to us through the Jews. But we wouldn't have taken the place of importance that we have played over the last 2,000 years. Paul's going to go in this morning, and he's going to use some analogies, mainly the analogy of an olive tree. So let's go ahead and read one more time this morning, beginning with verse 16 through 25. If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root,
but the root supports you.
You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off from their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then the first few words of verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved. Does anybody want to take a stab at explaining that this morning? Karen, you're smart. At first look, there's so much there that just kind of runs together. Grafting in, grafting out. What is it that the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us? Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing this morning on these words that we have just read. Father, words that are important, because they are in your word. And there's not one word within this book that is not important to us. So, Father, give us an understanding today through the power of your Holy Spirit as to what the Apostle Paul was trying to point out some 2,000 years ago. These words that are still relevant today, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Teach us, our King. Make us more like you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now remember verse 15 where we left off last week. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Talking of Israel, if their rejection of the gospel brought the gospel to the world, what then will their acceptance be when God brings them back? So in verse 16, Paul uses two illustrations. He uses the first, I believe the King James that Ryan read out of. Who's got King James? I believe it was the Vine, maybe. Verse 16. The first group? Fruit. Okay, the first fruit. Okay, New American Standard translates it piece of dough. The symbolism here being of the sacrifice of the first fruits unto God. Okay? So if the first fruits are holy, than the rest is. And generally what would happen at the beginning of harvest, as things were harvested, if you want to use the representation of a piece of dough, maybe somebody making bread, okay? If you take that first, Karen knows bread, if you take that piece of dough and you cut off and you're giving that unto God, generally what they would do, would they would take it and give it to the temple, and then the priests, the Levites, would be able to use all these first fruits to feed themselves. But you're giving the first part, which in essence is saying it's the best part. I know generally a lot of people today, in their giving unto God, and I'm as guilty of this as any of us, we don't always give our first fruits. We'll give of what was left over. You know, it's giving to the church. We'll house payment, electric bill, gas bill, 40% to eat out. No. And then when we get down to the last, we've got, I got $3.50 left. Well, let me give 50 cents. Because I still have to have some to spend. That's sometimes our thinking. Not all the time. Not everybody. And not all the time. Did I say all the time? I told you, it's going to be a rough day. So, they would give the first fruit as a representation of the whole lump. Karen being a bread dough person, she makes homemade bread. And if you were to cut off some of that bread dough, you've got this lump, and you cut some off and you give it away, what is your expectation of the rest of the lump? Should be just as good as the first part, should it not? Okay. So that's kind of the representation. And we're talking of Israel, of their salvation. And then Paul expands more in the second analogy. He says, if the root is holy, the branches are too. Now, the root is true salvation, okay? That's the foundation of everything. So if the root is holy, then the branches should be as well. When we look at this, this is kind of how God had things set up with his law, with his worship towards him. The foundation was holy. He set Israel up to be holy. He gave them the law. He gave them his presence. So if the roots are holy, the branches are as well. Verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Okay, let's stop there for a second. Olive trees are remarkable. I dare say you can go over to Israel today and go look at olive trees that were there at the time Christ walked this earth. They last forever. I mean, it goes to the structure of their roots. And that's why Paul's using this as an analogy. So he says, because of looking at this tree, looking at Israel, looking at God's fullness of his salvation as this olive tree, if some of the branches were broken off, okay, and that is unbelieving Israel, because how do you keep an olive tree to last 2,000 years? As branches die, as branches stop giving fruit, you prune it, and that makes it that much more healthy. Okay, that's kind of the picture. And there's going to be a little bit more to that. So, if some of the branches were broken off, if unbelieving Israel was broken off from the tree, and if you, Paul speaking to the Gentiles, if you were grafted in among them, okay, now there's a, I don't understand this, I'm not a tree guy. I should be with my last name, but I'm not. So, with an olive tree, and I don't know if this can be done with other plants as well, but as bad branches are taken off, you can take some sapling from young olive trees and you can merge them somehow with the old olive tree, to where then that takes upon the life and the strength of the entire tree. So we, being Gentiles, are then grafted in among them and become partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree. So that's what we have become as Gentiles. We have become grafted in to that tree. If you want to look at it as a tree of salvation, that's kind of how I picture it in my head. But we have been grafted in with believing Israel and believing Gentiles. I mean, that's a neat picture if you think about it. It also makes your head spin if you think about it too hard. Now, there's a problem that comes with this. It's a problem that I think we've had through human history, continues today. Paul, still talking to the Gentiles, says, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. How can we be arrogant against the branches? One commentator that I studied says that this can come in maybe as anti-Semitism toward Jews. Maybe even towards believing Jews. I mean, there are sects of Christianity today that believe there is no place for the Jew in the world. I mean, believe it or not, Adolf Hitler saw himself as a Christian, and there was no place in his eyes for the Jews. Now, Paul's talking to believers about believing Jews. Because even sometimes we can lose focus. Because there's so many ways. The Worldwide Church of God, Armstrong, who came up with this back in the 50s or so, they have no place. The Jews have no place in God's kingdom. Even many people in the Reformed tradition today,
they see the church, and I've mentioned this before, as taking the place of Israel.
So the picture then would be that the church becomes a tree of its own, with the believing Jews becoming grafted in, if that makes any sense. Paul says, don't be arrogant toward the branches. But if you're arrogant, remember that it is not you who support the root, but the root supports you. We can be an arrogant people, not only towards the Jewish branches that we're grafted in amongst, but sometimes to some of the other branches that have been grafted in with us. Those of us who follow along a more reformed line of thinking can be some of the most arrogant people that I've met. Even though I believe all the tenets of the sovereignty of God, even though I would say I agree with the tenets of Calvinism, I hesitate to call myself a Calvinist because of other Calvinists that I know. In the same light, where some people may hesitate to call themselves Christians because of the example and actions of those who say they follow Christ, I can't be a Christian. Those people from Westboro Baptist Church are Christians. They don't serve my God. Our example matters. Our love towards others matter. Paul says, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. I got to be better than all these other people then. God had to break them off to make me a part. So I'm better. Well, didn't we already learn that it's not us? It's Him? I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. Verse 20. Paul says, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Okay. They were broken off because they didn't believe. You have been grafted in because you did. Paul says, do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. And this is prophecy. This is prophecy of what's to come. So like I said, for the last 2,000 years, the Gentile church has taken prominence within the plans of God. Yes, there has been a remnant of Israel woven through that. But it's been the Gentile church that has carried the banner of God for quite some time. Paul says, don't be conceited. Because the same way He broke off Israel, unbelieving Israel, He will break off unbelieving Israel. Gentiles. We have things today being spouted in the name of Christianity that is no closer to Christianity
than it is to Islam or Buddhism or name it. Like I said, Adolf Hitler saw himself as a good Christian. Cleaning up for God. Do not be conceited, but fear. And this is what's happening today as the Gentile population is forsaking God. Or they will lose their prominence. Verse 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. If God did not spare those that was first given the promise, those who were part of the original tree, he's not always going to spare you who have been grafted in. And this is talking people as a whole, people groups. Who of Israel are saved?
All of Israel is saved.
Is that what Paul's teaching? Melanie? The believing of Israel are saved. Those who believe, those who have faith, those who do not put their faith in their works, but put their faith in the righteousness of God. This brought me to an interesting idea. Because one of the controversial things that we have, and it shouldn't be controversial, let me start out with this first. Does God love Israel? What part of Israel does God love? All of Israel. God has a love for all of Israel. What part of Israel are saved? Those who believe. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What part of the world does God love? All the world. Okay? This was a problem for me. Years back, I was in a church that we could not sing to our children in Sunday school, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Because the thought was, God did not love everybody. He only loved His elect. Some people listening today, they might go, "Oh, well, that's right. God so loved the world." What part of the world is saved? Those who believe. You know, have you ever saw those Facebook memes? You know, how old were you when you figured out that the top of the can, little can thingy, was to hold a straw? Well, I was 54 years old. 55? How old am I? 55. I was 55 years old
When I saw that the Bible taught me that God loves the world. But who are saved? Those who believe. I mean, do we not see some of this same truth in our own lives? I see it with some of my children. I have a couple of my kids that don't associate with us. They have removed themselves from the family. I still love them. I mean, and even though God's creation does not all follow Him, He can still love them, and He shows His common grace towards them all the time. But who will be with Him for eternity? Those who believe. Paul says, even with Israel, in verse 23, if they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24, for if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are a natural of natural branches be grafted into its own olive tree? There is a day that Israel is going to be grafted back in. Most believe this is going to be during the time of the tribulation, after Christ has come back for the church, when Israel will once again see God for who He is, and who will then believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and will be saved. And they will be grafted back in. I mean, this is contrary to a lot of the covenantal views that are out there today. Again, where the church has taken the place of Israel. God loves Israel, just like God loves the world. Verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. Now again, we need to be careful with some of the words that the Bible uses. But then at the same time, we need to give God the benefit of the doubt. All of Israel won't be saved as far as all of Israel that has ever lived. Paul's been clear about that in these couple of chapters. But that's not to say that during the time of tribulation, all the Jews that are left, maybe God's going to call them to Himself. I mean, sometimes, again, us of the Reformed tradition, we take the easy way out. Well, God will call all those who He calls to Himself. That's what all means. And it could. But I'd kind of like to think that any of Israel who are alive in those very last days, God will open their eyes and bring them to Himself. God loves Israel just like God loves the world. It's
kind of neat to know that God loves the world. Because we then have no excuse not to follow Him. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. We can get distracted with a lot of this sovereignty of God information. I'm not saying anything that I've taught so far is untrue. God is sovereign in all things. If God was not sovereign in all things, then God would not be God. But at the same time, we got to look at certain things as from God's perspective and certain things from man's perspective. God will choose whom He will to be His own. But all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't get it. I don't understand. But we have no excuse. If you're listening to this today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have no excuse. For God so loved the world. Believe in Him. Be grafted into the tree. Become one with our Jewish brothers and sisters, our Gentile brothers and sisters, and the things of God. Let's pray. Father, this was tough this morning. I pray I was clear. I pray I was honest both with myself and with all those who are listening. And Father, we're thankful that You have used the Gentile population as You have for the last so many years. But Father, the world is falling away from You. The Gentiles do not see You as God anymore. And Father, as the time draws near, You will again raise up Israel to Yourself. Thank You, Lord, for my salvation. Thank You, Lord, for the salvation of those who are here and who are listening, who have bent their knee to You. Lord, not because somebody was fancy in their speech, not because somebody sold them on Jesus, but Father, because Your Spirit open their heart to the things of You. Father, if there's someone here listening to the sound of my voice who knows not You, may they call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Be with us now, Lord, as we go into a time of the Lord's Supper. May we remember You in all Your glory. And all Your truth. Amen.